Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's April 22, 2013, and this is episode 369. Following on from last week's look at some images from South Georgia, this week I'm going to walk you through some photos from the three consecutive voyages to the Antarctic Peninsula, working with Aurora Expeditions in November and December 2012. Note that although the images are available in the enhanced podcast that you can listen to in iTunes or on your iPhone or iPad, if you want to really experience the images that are as big as possible, then do go over to mbp.ac/369 and click on one of the images that you see in the post, and then you can navigate back and forth with either your mouse or the arrow keys on your keyboard. So picking up the story after we left the breathtaking South Georgia, we spent 3 days on the Drake Passage before starting off with a great landing at Penguin Island. It was here that I got my first chance to photograph the amazingly cute chinstrap penguin. I included almost too many shots of these guys in the video that I released a few weeks ago, so I'm going to keep the numbers down here, at least down to two. Over the artistic merit for this first one, though, I wanted to show you a shot of a chinstrap with its brooding pouch open. I honestly didn't even know that penguins had these slits in their feathers, so that they can warm their eggs with direct skin contact. So this shot just fascinates me. It also feels like with that slight tilt in the penguin's neck, it almost felt as though he or she was showing me something a little bit naughty, which I thought was funny. I personally think that chinstraps are probably one of the cutest looking penguins. The strap looks like they have a big, broad smile on their face, of course, but they also just move around in such a way that you have to smile to yourself. The movie Happy Feet probably helped with their image a lot as well, and I actually was traveling with a naturalist named Gary Miller the first time I came down to Antarctica in 2011, and he was a consultant on penguins for the movie, so he, of course, absolutely adores these little guys too. We're going to move through the shots relatively quickly today because we actually have 16 photos to look at, and so I don't want to spend too much time when we can get away with a little less. But next up is a shot from a couple of days after this first one, when we were in a place aptly named Paradise Harbour or Paradise Bay. This shot was from just before 7:30 a.m. during an early Zodiac cruise around the harbour. I have other shots from closer up, but to give you an idea of the scale of the scene, when another Zodiac cruised along the front of the glacier that you can see running across the horizon, the top of the horizon of the water, they weren't much larger than a pinprick, if you were to have it in this particular shot. It was hard to see them from where we were. The only reason that we knew they were there was because they'd sped across the harbour, disturbing our perfectly calm mill pond shortly after this. That, of course, is one of the nice things about being in the photography group, and therefore in my Zodiac. We can basically call the shots on where we go and how much time we spend there, rather than just ploughing through the harbour, taking everything in much faster. This suits the general passengers, of course, and on the odd occasion when we ended up mixed with photographers and non-photographers in the same Zodiac, they usually complained that the photographers take too much time or got in the way with the big lenses, so it's great to keep us apart with the photography option that I was providing on these voyages. Shortly after the last shot, we returned to the Polar Pioneer, our ice-strengthened Russian ship that I mentioned briefly last week. I have to say again, though, that I love this ship. She's big enough to keep us relatively comfortable in rough seas and small enough to get us into parts of Antarctica that the other 150-passenger cruise ships simply can't get. These last two shots have both had a little bit of colour effects pro run against them to bring out the texture and the detail a little more. I actually rarely use colour effects pro on wildlife shots, but I did use it on this next shot too to enhance the falling snow as this chinstrap penguin battles uphill in the storm. Although I really like to add punch to some images with colour effects, with wildlife shots especially, I really like to keep the effects subtle. I don't think you'd know I'd even used it here unless I told you. A bit of pro contrast or tonal contrast can really bring out snow in a scene like this though, as can a very small amount of detail extractor or a subtle mix of all three. Note too that although I had a pretty productive time on these voyages, to save going through each of these three expeditions in too much detail, I've really tried to keep the number of images I talk about down to a minimum. The day we left Paradise was actually the last day of Expedition 1, so this shot that we're currently looking at is actually after we'd crossed the Drake Passage back and forth to Ushuaia to pick up a new ship full of passengers. This is a place called Two Hummock Island at the start of the second expedition. This next shot from the following day at a place called Kerberville Island is straight out of the camera though. You know, no color effects pro, and it's probably one of my favorites from the trip. These are Gentoo penguins hurrying along their penguin path along the snowy beach after a fishing expedition. Here, of course, I timed the shot so that they were all in line like this, looking as though they're doing one of those swirly rotating dances. Because they were moving relatively fast towards me, I'm pretty sure that for this one I'd focused on the snow just in front of them and then snapped a few frames as they progressed to that spot. AI servo focusing might have worked too, but in the heat of the moment, as I turned and saw this cute scene, pre-focusing seemed like the best option, and I'm happy with the results. The following day, as we flipped the calendar into December, we were at Port Lockroy, with the wonderful museum that they have there, and even a gift shop at the old British base. It was nice to actually be somewhere where we could meet other people and even spend a little bit of money. Many people write postcards as you can post them right here from the base. The next shot that we're looking at now is one of a moored yacht in the port with the snow-covered glacier behind it, making a wonderful backdrop for this shot. Here I actually added a plus 38 on the slider, plus 38 post-crop vignette in Lightroom to brighten the corners and enhance the dreamy feel of the image. I rarely do positive vignettes, but I think it works nicely here. The only thing that I regret about this shot is that there wasn't enough room in the foreground before this side of the port started, so I had to cut off the reflection of the yacht's mast, but it doesn't bother me too much. I've already tried printing this one too, and it looks pretty impressive. One of my favourites for sure. The weather was treating us quite kind during the second expedition, and we found ourselves at Enterprise Island the following day with the most incredible calm sea again. And I got another shot that will probably remain a favourite, with the abandoned whaler at the back of this cove and the sun lowish in the sky. I put the horizon smack in the middle of the frame and mirrored the sun in the mill pond water. And because I was stopped down a little, I got this lovely sunburst effect as well, caused by the aperture leaves in the lens. This was shot at f11, but I get a nice starburst effect even at f8 with my 16-35mm f2.8 lens. So I like to play with this effect on the rare occasions that I'm shooting on a clear day like this. As we left the Antarctic Peninsula on the last day of the second expedition, because we weren't able to get into the caldera of Deception Island, our last scheduled stop before returning to Ushuaia, our last landing ended up being at Elephant Island, and it was a bit of a purler. To start with, it was a tough call for the expedition leader as to whether or not we would even be able to land because the sea was so rough. I'd been asked to wear waders, so, you know, instead of my usual knee-high overshoes, as it was possible that I'd be in some nasty waves as I helped people in and out of the Zodiacs on the beach. The crossing from the Polar Pioneer that would wait over a mile out at sea as we went ashore was pretty nasty. Swell was probably around 3 meters, maybe more, but, you know, that's a lot when you're in essentially a rubber boat. On the way ashore, though, the sea was working with us. When we got ashore, it became obvious that the Zodiacs weren't going to get back to the ship to pick up more passengers without a little ballast to stop them from flipping as they sailed into the wind. I was to be the ballast on one of the Zodiacs. Dr. John, the ship's physician and highly skilled Zodiac driver, asked me to sit near the front of the pontoon. Pretty much as soon as we left the shore, though, it was obvious that it wasn't going to be possible to just sit on the pontoon. I was being thrown all over the place and ended up spending most of the trip back to the ship, crouched near the box at the front, hanging onto the anchor rope, pretty much for dear life. I probably looked like some sort of an insane cross between an aerobics teacher and a rodeo rider. Once every 2 or 3 waves, the icy seawater would come flooding over the front of the Zodiac and over my head mostly too, and it was a pretty rough ride, to say the least. We picked up another load of passengers and made our way back to Elephant Island again for our landing. When we got there, rather than art photographs, I was documenting a rescue mission, as there was a series of potholes with groups of 5 to 6 six-week-old elephant seals in them, and basically they dropped through the snow. The staff debated briefly about the ethics of what we were about to do, because if we were not there, these young elephant seals would surely perish. We figured that us humans had been responsible for the deaths of enough of these seals already, though, so we set about the task of rescuing them. Another good reason for the staff being in waders on this particular day. Here we can see James and Santiago, two of the Aurora staff, in a pothole with 5 elephant seals. These seals are fed by their mothers for about 4 weeks or so after they're born, and having grown to between 60 and 100 kilograms in that time, they're then left on the beach as their mothers go out to sea for a few weeks to feed on fish and come back to give their pups one last feed before they're left to fend for themselves. Conditions this year, though, had for some reason caused the seals to melt through the snow in these potholes, and there were groups of them all over the beach. It was a relatively dangerous job, as every so often a seal would crank its head back around and try to bite someone. But after an hour or so, the last pup was released from the last pothole, and we used ice picks to dig further around the hole so that if more pups dropped in after we'd gone, they'd hopefully be able to climb back out again. One could argue that we shouldn't have helped these pups, interrupting the course of nature, but I'll never forget the look on their eyes as we found the first few groups. I'll find it a lot easier to live with the decision to help them than I would have if we'd decided to leave them to perish. We'd been back to Ushuaia and picked up our new set of passengers and were halfway through the third and last expedition when I shot this next image. We were in Siova Cove and we had beautiful light, and relatively good weather again. And then we basically, we'd spent the morning zodiacing around the cove, exploring some magnificent icebergs. This one was recently printed and handed out to guests at the Offset launch. Offset is a new stock agency that Shutterstock have launched to provide a better class of stock photography, and I'm proud to have been invited to join them. There'll be more on that in the coming weeks as they open their doors more and more to the public, but if you are a buyer of stock photography, then you can request an invite to browse the galleries and buy stuff, of course, at www.offset.com. Again, I popped this little photograph that we're looking at here through Color Effects Pro, but I just love the iridescent blues of that underwater part of the iceberg here. I also see a Roman centurion carved out of the ice to the right, but a quick poll on Google Plus recently tells me that not many other people actually see that. Next, I once again have to apologise to my friend Ade because we'd been hoping for a chance to shoot a leopard seal the entire time we were together on the first expedition, but it didn't happen. Finally, now towards the end of the third voyage, we found one sitting up on a small iceberg, having a rest and probably, you know, having just eaten a penguin or two for breakfast. He had a mouthful of foam, but he did open his mouth, those fierce jaws, to give us a look at his teeth a few times. And this was one of the shots that I made here. I had to crop a passenger's shoulder out of the left side of this image, mind, because obviously my photography has to take back seat when something special happens and there's limited space to shoot like this. This next shot, still from that morning in Sierva Cove, is one that I included in my 2012 Best 10 Images. And it seemed to go down pretty well with you listeners, as well as the people that follow me on Google+. It remains a favourite, though I have to admit, at the time of shooting this, I didn't think I was going to like it quite this much. These two monumental icebergs really were magnificent. Still pretty much tables of ice that had probably broken away from one of the large ice tables found around Antarctica. The texture of the sky adds a lot, and once again I pumped this up just a little bit in Color Effects Pro. I think using a wide-angle lens here, shooting this at 16mm, gives us the feeling of the water and the sky kind of radiating out from the icebergs, or maybe that we're rushing towards them. Remember, as I said last week, if you are thinking of picking up Nik Software's complete package, Google have now made it available for just $149, and for another short while you can still use my code MBP15 to get a further 15% discount, taking the price down to just $126.65. So if you enter my short link mbp.ac/mbp15 into your browser, the code should be entered for you automatically, but otherwise try entering MBP15 on checkout. I'm pretty sure this won't work after June 2013 though, so don't hang around if you want to use that code. It really was an amazing morning there in Sierva Cove, and shortly before we had to go back to the ship, we found these three Adélie penguins on top of a growler, which is actually the proper term for a small iceberg about the size of a family saloon car. The name comes from the sound that they make as they rattle along the side of a ship. We circled these lovely penguins a few times in our Zodiac, and this is a shot from shortly before they made their exit, diving into the sea, probably to get away from a group of 10 annoying photographers in a Zodiac. We called in at Elephant Island once again as we left the peninsula for the third time. I apologise in advance if this last photo disturbs you, but unfortunately when we got there, we found a few groups of dead elephant seals on the beach. They'd obviously fallen back into potholes again, though there weren't as many, you know, there weren't the same numbers that we'd rescued less than 2 weeks earlier, which was good. I chose to include this image in my slideshow and here today as a poignant reminder of the fragility of life down here in Antarctica. It only takes a bit of strange weather, maybe overly warm sun causing the darkly coloured seals to warm up enough to melt a hole in the snow, and their lives can be put in danger incredibly easily. It was sad to see, but I felt that I had to shoot this, especially as the pelt that is left around the bones of the seal look almost like the hood of the Grim Reaper that took this poor little soul away. We were able to get into the caldera at Deception Island before we left the peninsula, though, finally, on my fourth chance. Apparently, there are rocks just below the surface on one side of Neptune's Bellows, the entrance to the mouth of the underwater volcano that forms the island that we were trying to get inside. In stormy weather, the ship can be blown across to the side with the rocks under the surface, and so you have to have relatively calm weather before you can actually get inside here. The beach, made of black volcanic sand, is warm, and the water is apparently warm enough to bathe in places. We weren't invited to do so this time, as time was against us, but we had a wonderful couple of hours inside here. I did some long exposure shots like this one of two small abandoned boats half buried in the black sand. I cropped this down to a 1:2 aspect ratio too, as the foreground and sky weren't really adding much, and I wanted to accentuate the long structure of the boat. In the slideshow that I released a few weeks ago, I also included a couple of shots of another less than proud human legacy, the whale blubber boilers that were behind me as I captured this shot. Deception Island was unfortunately a whaling station for some time before the majority of the human race left that horrible practice behind us. We'll finish here for today though, and I do hope you've enjoyed these photos and sharing some of these experiences that I had on these three expeditions. I would like to thank Aurora Expeditions for giving me the opportunity to work on these three voyages, and I'd like to thank any of the passengers that had joined the photography option as well and may be listening. Also, making it possible for me to spend that very special time down there with you. And of course, thanks very much to you for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc., and links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.